You remember that Steely Dan song, Go Back Jack, Do It Again. Go Back Jack, Do It Again. The name of the song is Do It Again. But there's the catchy phrase there, Go Back Jack, Do It Again. And I will say that reincarnation is the darling of the New Age people. Even some Christians believe in it. It's the most disgusting teaching that there is, I think, that karma is a bitch, and that if you live a bad life in this lifetime, you will come back in another lifetime, in the next lifetime, as an aardvark or something, or a praying mantis, or you will come back as a sperm whale, or a sperm. I don't know. It's sick, and you will not find a trace of it in the scriptures. So I am here to tell you how the Great White Throne answers what I believe is the primal need of people, the Great White Throne will completely satisfy. But no, they need to have reincarnation. They invent something people do in order to counter what they think is this, what is for them an emotional need to have everything balanced out. Yes, believe me, I'm a Libra. I love balance. My sign is the scales, right? So I love balance, and things need to be equaled out, but not by reincarnation. God, this is sick. It's sick. You're on the wheel, just constantly being reinvented, reincarnated. That is, coming back into a body, a different body. And if you lived a good life, I don't know, who do you come back as? Joel Osteen? Oh, I had a big discussion with somebody on Christmas morning about Joel Osteen. This person loved Joel Osteen. So well spoken. He's so articulate. He has this large congregation, and his wife is so beautiful, and he makes me feel good. Okay, well, sure. Joel Osteen makes you feel good. Whiskey makes me feel good. Godiva chocolate makes me feel good. Great. You're getting a emotional rush there, not a spiritual rush. He excites your emotions. And emotions, I contend to you, are the backbone of this need people have to make everything equal and right under their own terms. And I go back to reincarnation. It's a flight of the fancy. This is why I tied it in with Joel Osteen. These things that I bring up seem to be random, but believe me, because it's a stream of consciousness connection, there is a connection there. I see no difference than Joel Osteen telling tales and yarns of how wonderful life should be for you, of how every day should be a Friday. And if Joel's making you feel good, then it must be spiritual, because no, there's no way, shape, or form that any manifestation of the spirit would make you feel bad for a second, either about yourself or about anyone else. There would be no introspection. There would be no time of mourning. Jesus says, you know, happy are those who mourn. What do we mourn? We mourn the demise of this age. We mourn the demise of spiritual understanding. Oh, God hasn't given it. We mourn the age in which we live, in which no one cares about God. We mourn in the way that Noah mourned, of the generation that he lived in, that it was a crap generation. It was full of crap in its head. That's what we mourn for that. And we mourn for death, and we mourn for all kinds of things. It's kind of a Woody Allen thing. Woody Allen says, I just can't be happy if anyone else is miserable. Well, okay, we have a deep-seated content and peace, but the waves on the surface go and go and go, my friends. But Joel Osteen says that you shouldn't have these waves on the surface. You shouldn't be disturbed in any way. If you're a Christian, then you should be happy all the time. And for some reason, this perfectly suits the New Age movement. And all it looks for you to be tranquil and peaceful. That's the primary thing. It's all about you. It's all about you find peace. You find equilibrium. You find this. You find that. Joel Osteen makes it about you. That's the title of his books. You know, your best life now, your best life. How to make every day a Friday. Why would you want to do that? So that you can feel good. Who cares about Christ anymore? Who cares about God? Look at the pattern of Christ living as he was homeless, really, and during his public ministry. So the foxes have dens, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Anybody ever really thought about the implications there? Maybe that's the pattern of true spirituality. True spirituality does not thrive as the emotional man or woman would think it would. And flights of the fancy, not scripture. It's very boring and very dull to concentrate on scripture. I find this even with the conversations I have with people here. People know instinctively, I think, that scripture is the answer, but it's too boring. They don't want to know it. And so that's why I'm not this mega popular person, because I go through the scriptures, and that is really not very sexy. I try to make it sexy. I really do. Reincarnation is sexy because it's exotic to think that you get another chance. You get to come around again. And good is repaid with good. Evil is repaid with evil. That's not the way it is in this life. Things are upside down. Evil is repaid with good, and good is repaid with evil. But there is an event that dispenses with all of this nonsense. And that if people would believe it, it would satisfy the logic. It would satisfy that part of the human brain that can still reason, that can still think, that has any sense of propriety. Just light doing up here. Look at that. Interesting. and that is the great white throne judgment. Anything that was unfair in this life, any bad karma, so-called, any good karma, will be adjusted and rectified and satisfied at the great white throne. Are you tempted to believe in the New Age doctrine of reincarnation, which has no support in the Word of God? Such an important thing that if you do bad, you're going to come back as a wombat. Or if you do well, you're going to come back as Joel Osteen's wife. Wow. Can you imagine that? Having all those teeth, and they're so white, and you have that blonde hair, and a killer body, and a millionaire husband, and a fancy house. Wow. I want to do good. But God is much more sober. God is much more real. And these are not things of the spirit. They're things of the soul. This person I was talking to said, I feel better about myself. I said, okay, that's fine. But that's an emotional thing that's being met in you. It's not a spiritual thing. Spiritual needs being met bring you to a stable disposition of peace, where you're undergirding, your foundation is settled, it's immovable, it's set in stone, set in rock, because the Word of God is true and it's unchangeable. And the Word of God does not depend on your life situation. It doesn't depend even on your karma that you're creating by the day. It doesn't depend on today I'm in a good mood, tomorrow I'm in a bad mood, a Freudian slip of some kind. There are good nudes and bad nudes. You remember that Seinfeld episode? There's good naked and bad naked. If you don't, look it up on YouTube. Wouldn't it be great to have a disposition that did not depend on your income or your level of happiness on any given day, which goes up and down like a roller coaster? That's the problem people have, is that they have a walk that is changes like the stock market, like a ticker tape readout, like the Dow Jones Industrial. But that's just the surface. I use the ocean as an analogy here because oftentimes I think our surface irritations go like the waves, and they go up and down and up and down. But it always amazed me that when Jacques Cousteau took his cameras down there beneath the sea, there was a part of the ocean that was stable, that was settled, and where the waves of the surface, there would be a storm on the surface. I even found this in my swimming pool when I was a kid. We had a swimming pool, and it would be raining, let's say, pouring down, a big storm. And I would like to go swimming during those times. Not when there was lightning. I wasn't that dumb, but I'd like to go under the water during a storm. And you get there under the water at the bottom of the pool, and it's very peaceful. And you don't hear the rain anymore. You don't hear the wind. And so under there, even though the surface is churning, the foundation is there. So your surface may be churning, but the foundation is there. This is not the Joel Osteen way. It's not the reincarnation way. And it's not the Revelation chapter 20 way, because the Great White Throne is the antithesis of all these human ideas and human emotions that are based on emotional needs. But I'm telling you, in another sense, God does not disparage your emotional needs because he knows you need answers. The Great White Throne is that answer. Everything is made good here. All your surface turmoils, all the things in life that screwed you over, all the people who screwed you over, and all the people you screwed over, you're going to see them again, and it's all going to be talked out, and it's all going to be performed again, maybe. I keep talking about that film, Roll the Tape, and you're going to see your life. All this is going to be overseen by God, by the one on the great white throne. What do you think throne speaks of? It speaks of, is it empty? No, it speaks of one sitting on the throne who is a righteous judge. And so it's all going to be made right at that time. And again, you people might say, how can God do all that? He's God and we're not. Come on, seriously? Seriously? I mean, they told me that Santa Claus kept track of those who were naughty and nice, and that Santa Claus visited every house on Christmas night, which was ridiculously impossible, especially for one burdened with a sled. I don't care if it flew. I don't care if the 8 reindeer pulled it. It was still incredibly impractical. And then he had to land on roofs. I mean, how much distance would you need? You picture a jet landing today on a runway. It needs a mile to stop and slow down. Santa Claus, what could he? I never saw where he hovered in that thing. I never saw where he hovered. It wasn't like a hella sled. It was it was pulled, like as with propellers, except the propellers were reindeer. So, and yet we believed that crap. We believed it. And now when we're adults, I know things change as an adult. You become very cynical and you look back on your childhood and you think, man, I'd love to go back there. Things were simple. But you believed all this bull crap about Santa Claus. But now we're not dealing with a fictional character. We're dealing with God, who this meets all the needs we have for a super being who can do everything and do everything well and do everything instantaneously, and that is God. So I guess Santa Claus, I'm really going to change my opinion on this, because as I'm talking this through with you, I think that Santa Claus, we need to have Santa Claus. We like to think that there is someone so above our ability, so able to take care of things and to keep track of things, going to find out who's naughty or nice. There's that need, and it's expressed in a stupid song that you sing while drinking spiked eggnog, and it's pure fantasy, but yet it meets a need, and we put all our hopes and dreams in there. Even some adults probably still believe in Santa Claus. These are stupid adults. These are extremely stupid adults. But God answers that need in humanity to have someone who can just take care of everything for me. Can you just take care of everything for me? He says, yes, I will. But the thing is this taking care of is deferred. And that's what vexes our hopes and dreams, is when it's not meted out instantly, when we have to put everything on hold. The hurts we've endured at the hands of others, the injustices in this world that have happened to us and our loved ones, and even those things we have done to other people. When is this all going to be satisfied and worked out? Ladies and gentlemen, I announce to you today that it is all going to be satisfied and worked out for the majority of those who ever lived on the earth, with the exception of the believers who are already vivified and resurrected. It will be worked out at the great white throne. This is why the dead, the small, and the great rise. And nobody will have their crutches anymore, because the earth and heaven will have fled, and there will be no place for the feet. It's almost like people will be dangling in midair, and there will be God. And so everybody's going to be really honest at that point. It's going to be the ultimate dose of alcohol. Sometimes people drink alcohol in order to get honest, or they want other people to drink alcohol so that they become honest. Some people don't get real until they have a couple drinks. Then they can talk to you like a normal human being. Well, everybody's going to be a normal human being then. And because, why shouldn't they be? Because the motives of the heart will be exposed. All these surface pretensions, all these stupid things we humans do to make other people think that we're not what we really are. All these facades, this fakeness that you really have to drill through. I'll never forget my ex-boss at the post office. He was such a fake man. He had all these, he had this playboy type persona, and he was I don't want to say too much about him, because you could trace my history and find out where he was, and I just don't want to say anything too personal about him, but he was a faker, and he had a fake life, and he was this kind of guy where you ask him something. I really tried to get into his head one day. I went into his office and I said, "Boss, tell me what's happening. You know, what's happening?" And he said, "Everything's fine, Sender. Everything's fine." I said, "No, really, what's happening?" "No, everything's good." And this was on a personal level, not a professional level, because I felt for the guy, really. And I kept asking the question again, "No, really." And listen, by the fourth time I asked that question, I was a persistent bastard. I was a pain in the ass. He broke down. He put his head down on his desk and he started to weep. I'm reminded of the film with Robin Williams and, what's that movie? Ben, why do I even try to think of movies? Good Will Hunting. Yes, Good Will Hunting. When Robin Williams asks, what's his name, to tell me, what's happening with you? And he wouldn't say, "It's fine, everything's great." "No, really, what's happening?" "No, everything's fine, everything's great." "No, really, what's happening?" And then he breaks down and cries, finally, just like peeling layers off an onion. "Break down, break down, break down. I finally drilled into your soul, and now you're going to be honest with me. All your fleshly pretensions have gone." His name was Will in the movie. For the life of me, I can't think of the actor, but I never can. I never can. I just love this probing, and the honesty comes out. This is the great white throne. It says heaven and earth have fled. That gives you an indication. I mean, I should probe that entire, just that statement. Heaven and earth have fled. If heaven and earth have fled, then every single layer of protection people have put on their lives and on their souls is gone, and everybody's exposed. It's like in surgery, where the surgeon just rips open the cuts open the rib cage, and you see the pulsating heart. That's you, baby. You're all there. You're all there. You're all out there. You're not hiding anything now, are you? And so this is going to be such a relief to everyone. Can you imagine getting down to the street level, getting down to the soul level? I would love to. I really wanted to get that way with my mom. My mom was always great when she had a couple drinks in the evening, because then, we just had awkward conversations. I wanted to get real. Let's get real. All these layers of protection. A couple layers would be removed, you know, at that time. And so I would always love that. Can you imagine all humanity with every layer being removed? It's going to be so refreshing. And for us on a soulish level, it will be refreshing at the great white throne when we see this. Remember, we're not under this judgment. We're part of the judgment. But when we see it from God's perspective, and these people are going to be finally delivered of themselves and everything's going to be made right. And what happens next? Oh, I am going to tell you what happens next.